Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to get your gossip on and spill some tea. Are you ready?
Join in or listen to Celebrity Tea Talk.
The good, the bad, and the ugly of celebrity life around the world. Grab a cup of tea, turn off the volume, and get ready.
You are listening to Michelle Noel on CTT,
Celebrity Tea Talk Radio. Let's get started. Who should we talk about today?
Oh my gosh, welcome, welcome, welcome everybody on Live Me. How are you guys doing? Hey Diamond Hand, what's going on? Welcome everybody on Blog Talk Radio. We are getting ready to talk about some celebrity stuff, guys. Whoa. Crazy, crazy things going out in the celebrity world. Welcome also to Angel. How you doing, boo? What's going on? What's going on? So guys, we are just going to dive into this. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the love. And remember, guys, I promised you yesterday that I was going to go over some beauty tips and tricks and things that I'm getting from Amazon that, like I said to you, don't shoot that crap into your face. Don't be putting all that fillers and crap. You don't need it. You don't need it, booze. I'm going to go over after we're done with the Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to stick on Live Me, and I'm going to show you some of the goodies you can get from Amazon that absolutely work. And guess what? I'm not being paid to tell you to use this stuff, okay? So don't think I'm one of these, like, Insta-hoes getting my money to be, like, telling you crap. I'm not. I'm going to be telling you the truth. I'm going to be like, this is what you need to do. But we're just going to dive right into the celebrity talk stuff because there's a few things we need to go over and talk about. Thank you so much for you guys showing me the love. Much love coming to you guys on Live Me. Much love coming to you guys on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, so, you know, I love Rita Ora, okay? Awesome, talented artist, okay? Super talented, okay? So today, you know, and she's had a good year. She's had a great year. She's had an awesome year, okay? So today, Rita goes on and posts an Insta-ho pic. Rita. We don't need the Insta-ho pics, okay? And when I say an Insta-ho pic, I mean you're talented. We don't need to see you in your Victoria's Secret underwear with your hands going across your chest, covering up those little nips. We already know you're super talented. You don't need the Insta-ho pic. So I was a little disappointed in Rita because I was like, you're gorgeous, honey. You can look gorgeous. You can look beautiful. You can have your look. You can have everything going on. You can be sexy, but you don't need the Insta-ho pic. You know, like us girls, we're really trying hard to get there on our talents and on our merits and what we could actually do. So, like, if you're a talented artist and a talent singer and that's what you're known for, work that angle. Like, work it. Show us. Work it. You don't need to do the Insta-ho pic. We get it. You're gorgeous. You got a great body. Leave the Insta-ho pics to the Insta-hoes. You don't need to be showing all that crap. We get it. So, to Rita, I just say, you know what? Am I a morning or night person? Oodles, I'm from New York. So, you know, us New Yorkers are used to being on the train at like 5 a.m. So I would say I'm a morning person. But also, us New Yorkers like to party on the weekends. So that's when I would say we're nighttime people. So I'd say from Thursday to Sunday, I'm definitely the nighttime person. I want that New Yorker nightlife. I will walk with my freezing scarf. I'll be chattering with my teeth. I'll be doing all of that. And then Monday through Thursday, I'm the morning person. I'm like up. I'm like, let's go. Let's get the caffeine. Let's get walking. Let's get doing. So, yeah, I would say it depends on the day of the week which one I am. Then I'll pretty much let you know. So another topic we're going to go into, guys, and I love when you guys ask me questions. I will be brutally honest with any question that you ask me. Because when you're from New York, you just basically process from here to here. It doesn't really filter around a lot in there. It's just like right out the mouth. It just shoots out. So they're talking right now about Selena Gomez. And you guys know Selena Gomez is dating Justin Bieber. We all know that now. Now Selena and Justin are back. The Jelena, Selena, Kachina, whatever it was, it's back together again. So now they're saying that basically Selena's mom is having a lot of issues with Selena, and they're saying it's because of Justin Bieber. No, that's not true. We all know that's not true. Let me tell you what this is. First of all, So they said the problem that she's having has been for over the last like 3 years. And as you guys know, Selena's mom used to manage Selena Gomez. That's what she did for years. And then they separated. I think Selena's mom had a baby and basically, you know, had to kind of be home for the baby and all that kind of stuff. So it changed everything. But here's the thing, guys. You know, we've seen over the last few weeks with Hollywood that Hollywood doesn't really like people that are like there for you. And you know what I mean, guys? Like, they don't like it when you have someone who's basically watching your back, you know, someone who's involved. So someone like Selena's mom, I mean, who's she going to look out for? What's her best interest? Obviously, Selena. But here's the problem with that. Hollywood likes to have control. And the easiest way to control a person is by getting away the people who have your best interest at heart. So what they want to do is say, hey, we already know that this person has your best interest at heart. So what we're going to do is we're going to separate this person from you. So I don't really think it's that Selena necessarily has problems with her mom, because really when her mom was managing her, she was doing movies. She was doing more product endorsements. She was definitely way more out there in the public eye. And I know she had surgery this year. She had a donor and she had surgery. We got all that. We understand it was a rubber buffer year. But I felt like she was having more going her way. But like I said, when it comes to Hollywood, I mean, you look, you see it every day. It's like Hollywood wants you to be a fucked up person. They do. It sounds terrible, but they do. Because when you're a fucked up person, you got secrets. And when you have secrets that you don't want anybody to know, people get control over you. So I kind of feel like the whole situation with Selena is not really that she has a problem with her mom. It's just her mom being separated from her life has now let people be around Selena that may not necessarily be the best people for Selena, but are the best people for controlling her. Because let's face it, if you have a mom or someone who's managing you and you were doing really good with them, why would you change things? You would just have it the same. And I think if it wasn't for the fact that Selena's mom actually had to take care of another child and it wasn't all focused on Selena, she couldn't do that anymore. That kind of allowed people to put a wedge between Selena and her mom. Because like I said, I mean, you see it every day with Hollywood people. Stuff comes out and you think, oh, my God, this person has the most amazing, perfect life. They're rich. They're famous. They're this. And then all this stuff comes out. Like when we were looking back at all the Harvey Weinstein stuff, they actually said Harvey Weinstein hired a team of people to go find out shit about people so that he would be able to control that person. So that's what I think it's about. I don't necessarily think that Selena really wants to have a problem with her mom or her mom has a problem with her. But when you start putting people between you and someone who really cares about you and really has your best interest at heart, then there comes this separation of that person being able to allow other people to come in to kind of block you. So hopefully Selena will work it out with her mom. We hear too many stories of people in Hollywood like Jennifer Aniston and other people who like literally never talk to their parents again, never talk to their family member again. And a lot of that is because it's easier to control a person if the people who are not there around you to look out for your best interest. So I think that's what this all has to do with. And hopefully Selena and her mom will figure that out. Let's be real. Justin wasn't even in the picture 3 years ago. Like they dated when they were like young teens. So 3 years ago, that's just BS. That's just pure BS, reality. I think it's just Selena's mom is probably having a hard time getting to her daughter. Because like I said, when it comes to this kind of stuff, parents who care or people who care or people who could be around you, they don't want that. They want you guys in the background because this allows them to manipulate and control the person. You're chilling together. We are chilling all together, smiles everywhere. We are chilling. We are hanging out. We are talking celebrity stuff. So as far as I'm concerned, like, let's see how that all works out with Selena and her mom. And hopefully, I think Selena's smart enough that she's going to figure out that, you know, this whole stuff of them trying to keep her mom away from her, or maybe even telling her things that may not even be true about her mom, you know, Selena will figure it out because this has been going on for a while. And apparently Selena's mom had like such an issue with whatever's happening here She had a breakdown. I'm so happy you're in a good mood. I love it. Everybody's in a good mood, guys. I mean, what's the point of being in a bad mood? I mean, get into a bad mood, get it out, get a good cry, get a good whatever, anger, and then just get over it. Because really, it's just a negative aura that brings you down when you're in a bad mood. It's best to just get rid of it and like move on. Just move on to the next thing, you know? Bad moods, forget it. Good mood, perfect. Good mood, good things. Bad mood, bad things. That's what I believe in. So anyway, you guys, any of you guys have Apple devices? You guys have Apple devices? Okay. So, you know, I notice this just like everyone else notices, okay? Right when you're supposed to be able to, like, get a new Apple iPhone, all of a sudden your old iPhone starts to mess up. And you're doing the updates, which you're supposed to do, right? So you're doing the updates on your Apple phone, and this is supposed to make your phone be, like, working better. And you're thinking, hey, if I update my phone, then it's going to make it work better, right? Like, the phone's going to be working great. And then it seems every time you upgrade it, it actually works worse. And then you're like, what the hell's going on, man? I have my iCloud. I have everything set up. I've done everything. Why is the phone messing up? Well, people, Apple is bright red. Apple is bright red. Why? Because they actually had to come out and admit, guess what? Maybe we've been slowing your phones down a little bit, but it wasn't because we wanted you to buy a new iPhone. That's not why. BS. BS. I mean, come on. All of a sudden, now, they were getting sued, guys. I don't know if you saw that, but there's been lawsuits now actually filed against Apple that says way too many people are saying the same thing about their iPhone. Like, too many people are coming out there and saying, I have my iPhone 5, I have my iPhone 6, and why is this thing? It's nothing wrong. My screen's not busted. It's not a storage issue. So why is this phone slowing down? Why are things crashing? Why is it not working? So Apple has now come out and said, okay, it's actually the battery that's doing it. Let me do an eye roll again. Okay, let's be real. So now they said, we're actually going to reduce the price of you getting a replacement battery. And I believe it's if you have a 6 and above. We're going to make it from $50 to $29. And then all of a sudden, we're now going to come out with a new iOS update that's going to make you show it's the battery. Guys, okay. First of all, I call BS on that whole thing, okay? Do you guys ever read the agreement? Like, you know, you got the iPhone, right? And you're updating your iPhone, okay? And it comes out with this agreement, which is like 5,000 pages. You don't give a crap. You just want to press I agree. So the doggone phone goes on to the next thing. So you get the phone starts doing the whole upgrade and all that kind of stuff. You don't even read that stuff. So in reality, you don't know what they're saying to you. You don't know what's on side. You know nothing. You know nothing. You know nothing about what they're putting on there, okay? So here you are now. You get the thing and you think, oh, this upgrade, this iOS upgrade is going to make it better. I believe that this iOS is probably going to fix all the crap that's making your phones slow down. But they're not going to tell you that. And guess what? I don't know iOS programming. Do you know iOS programming? No, of course. So we have no way of knowing what's actually in this update. It's like whatever they tell you, you have to believe because we're not Apple. We don't read the programs. We have no idea. So whatever Apple says, we're just going to go by and use. So fine, we'll go ahead and do your iOS update. Let's see how this all works out with the whole Apple thing. Because I have an old phone that I use as basically like an iPod. So I'm waiting to see. I'm going to do this upgrade with Apple when it comes out, which I think is coming out in January. And let's see if my theory is it's going to make that thing run the way it's supposed to run, that it's going to fix whatever junk Apple's put in there to make all these phones slow down. So I'm waiting to see how this is going to happen, but I think that's what's going to happen is it's going to fix all this little bugs that they put into these Apple old iPhones when you do these updates that basically are screwing up the phones to make you run out and go spend $1,000 on a phone. So we're going to see how it happens with that, but I believe that's exactly what the situation is. That's exactly what they're going to do. So we'll I'll give you an update when I upload the new iOS onto my old iPhone and see what actually happens. But my theory is it's going to make that thing run from like a whatever it is now to like a Mercedes. So I'm waiting to see what's going to happen with that. But I think so. Thank you so much for the love. Thank you guys for the likes. Thank you. Thank you. So, you know, did you guys see the White House intern pick today? Okay. So there's a story out there right now about the White House intern pick, which this guy graduated from Emory University, and he did this White House pick where he actually does this sign, which I'm not going to repeat the sign, but the sign that he does supposedly mimics some kind of racial sign or something like that or whatever it is, okay? And so they were told, all the interns, when they took a picture, was to stand there and do a thumbs up like this, okay? And this guy decided to do this racial hand sign. So, of course, they find the pic. Of course, he stands out in the pic because he's the only person not doing the thumbs up thing that he's supposed to do. And now they're posting this picture everywhere saying, look at this intern who's like racist, putting this racist sign. Here's my take on that, guys. So you go ahead, you're an intern, which means you don't have a J-O-B, okay? So you don't have a job, you're an intern. You're doing internships so you can get a J-O-B. Now, imagine now you have this guy who graduated, and this intern pick, I forgot when it was taken, guys. It was taken a while ago. I don't think it was that recent. Let me see if I could find the information on here. But it was taken, but it wasn't too recent, I believe. But I'll double check for you guys and let you know. Let's see. It was in November. Okay. So this guy just graduated then. So can you imagine this guy now goes to get a job? Okay, and he writes there, White House intern. You're like, oh wow, I'm really impressed. Oh my gosh, you're a White House intern. Oh my god. Well, you know, and of course, I don't care who you are nowadays. Every employer or employer to be is going to stick your name into Google because they want to see who you are. So imagine now you're this intern with this Rachel pic everywhere of you doing this racist sign. Okay. And now your employer puts your name into Google. And guess what? You're going to be intern without a J-O-B because no one is going to hire you now that you did this stupid picture. So, guys, let me tell you something. Even if you think you're going to do something that you think is really, really funny, I have a rule of thumb. Don't put it in pictures. Don't put it in a video. And don't take it and send it to anybody. Like, this guy now has this picture of where everyone is saying you're the only intern doing a racist sign everywhere on the internet. So can you imagine this intern now going for a job anywhere? Like, dude, you're lucky if Starbucks will hire you to make a Frappuccino. So I'm just laughing. I'm like, come on, guys. Be smart. You're an intern getting ready to graduate. Why? And you're getting a picture taken at the White House. Of course, someone is going to post that picture somewhere. Somewhere. What's my New Year's resolution? You know, I'm really sucky when it comes to resolutions, guys, to be honest with you. I try to really make ones that I think I can keep. And then somehow they end up getting messed up somewhere along the line. But I guess one of my New Year's resolutions would, as most people, I'd love to lose some weight. Who doesn't want to like get in shape and do all that kind of stuff? But I think also my New Year's resolution would be to look at how my life is today, which I love my life today, but look at ways I want to improve it and make it better and move in a better direction. And then my New Year's resolution really should be my year-long resolution of being able to look back at my life next year and be like, yeah, I improved things throughout the year. So I think that's what my New Year's resolution do is my New Year's resolution is to be a full year resolution of moving further into my goals of my life, of like things that I've wanted to achieve that I have kind of a bucket list of going through that. and kind of hitting those things that I really, really want to hit. So that's Dream Girl. I would say that's my New Year's resolution, is to have a year-long resolution, not just make it like just like a New Year's thing that I do for like 30 days and then I give up, because that happens a lot sometimes. It's like you're like, yeah, I'm going to do this. Then 30 days later, you're like, what was my resolution again? I totally, absolutely forgot what I was going to do, but you know, now I'm going to remember it. So yeah, I think making it as a year-long resolution is a great way to do a total resolution. So like next year, when I look back on my life of where I am right now, I want to be someplace even more amazing, so I can look back and go, man, 2018, like that was the year. Like, I love that. I love to look back and be like, that was a good year. Like 2017 was a good year. I can't complain about it. It was a good year. Things went really good. Things moved the way I wanted to. So I think that's how you should look at your New Year's resolution, is being just something for the whole year that you want to accomplish, and that you can look back at your life in a year and be like, dang, that was so good. Like, oh my God, how am I going to top that? I want to be able to top it after this and just make it even better. So yeah, that's my New Year's resolution. Thank you, Reese Tyler, for joining. What's up? What's up? We are talking celebrity stuff that is going on today. We have hit Selena Gomez. We have talked about Rita Ora. We just talked about that ridiculous idiot at the White House who's never going to be able to get a J-O-B because he did a racist sign at the White House picture with Trump and the interns. Like, I mean, he's totally viral now with this picture. I'm like, dude, I don't know where you're going to work at for a job, but good luck. Oh, by the way, he went to Emory University, which means he has got student loans up the booty, or his parents basically are living like in a doghouse somewhere because they spent every penny kept putting him through college. So let me tell you, his New Year's resolution is to like figure out how to change his name so that he won't show up on any more internet searches when he's looking for a job. Yeah, so that's like, oh my God. But yeah, so, all right. So, okay. I love reading stories that are just like, you know, we're talking about New Year's resolutions where you look back and that person says to themselves, what the hell was I thinking? You know, you read stories like that all the time and you're just like, what was this person thinking? Like, what was going on in their mind as everything was occurring, everything was happening? So, this guy, this is funny. So this guy, I guess, met this woman. I'm trying to figure out where they actually met. They met like at a party or something like that. But okay, so all right. So this is what happened. So this guy, who's a trial lawyer in Houston, and by the way, he lives in a $9 million house, guys. Okay, he's a trial lawyer. He lives in a $9 million house. This guy's got some serious bank. Okay, so he goes on a first date with this court reporter that he meets, right? So, you know, already from the date, and I always said to this woman, I was like, first of all, girl, you got a date with a guy who lives in a $9 million house. Whoa. I don't know what you were thinking when you made your next move. So she apparently gets drunk, okay, in this guy's $9 million house. So he's like, date's over. I'm going to call you an Uber. So the guy goes ahead and calls an Uber for her. And she decides to run and hide in the house. Okay. $9 million house. I can only imagine there's like probably like 20 bedrooms or some nonsense thing like that. Right. So she decides to run and go hide inside the house somewhere. After she hides in the house, he's like, okay, I cannot find this bitch in my house. Where the hell is woman? So he finally finds her again. And he's like, I'm calling you a second Uber now. Get your ass in the Uber. Like, our date's done. You're drunk. It's over with. I'm finished. Well, she apparently didn't appreciate that he was calling her an Uber. So this guy in his house has Andy Warhol paintings, okay, that are worth like, I don't know, like $500,000, these paintings, okay? They're ridiculously expensive paintings, $500,000 paintings. So this girl is pissed off about her having to get into an Uber, decides to destroy this guy's $500,000 worth of paintings from Andy Warhol. Okay, girl, you got a date with a guy and you got drunk. He's a lawyer. He lives in a $9 million house. He doesn't try to take advantage of you and wants to put you in an Uber. And you repay him by destroying $500,000 in paintings. Girl, you should not get any more dates after this because you're a hot mess. I'm sorry. You should not date anyone after this at all because there's something really wrong with you. But not only is she doing that, but she also causes more destruction to like statues and things he has around the house. So this girl then ends up, and by the way, this girl is like 29 years old. So she's arrested on Christmas Eve. And the guy was taking you on a date on Christmas Eve? What? What? So she goes ahead and gets arrested and gets put into jail, released on $30,000 bond. So I have to say to this guy, that was the most expensive one date you've ever had in your entire life. Hey, Lollipop Princess, what's up? So can you imagine this guy spends, just goes on a date one time with this girl. He's in a $9 million house. She destroys $500,000 in paintings and another $300,000 in artwork because she's pissed off that he called her an Uber. Girl, you need to stop dating because there's something wrong with you when you decide to just destroy someone because he called you an Uber. And the guy didn't even like try to take advantage of anything. He's like, I just want you out of my house because you're drunk and I just don't want to deal with you on Christmas Eve, your drunkenness. And she goes ahead and destroys his house. She destroys almost $1 million worth between paintings and artwork because he called her an Uber. That was the most expensive date that man has ever had in his entire life, $1 million date. And by the way, she ended up getting up in jail. Like, I bet you she calls him up and asks him for another date. How much you want to bet she's going to call and be like, you know, hey, I know, I just had a moment of weakness, and I just want to know, can we go on a second date? Trust me, I guarantee you she's going to be texting him and be like, hey, you know, I think the first date went really, really well. How about if we go out again? Trust me, I know that this girl already is a psycho case. And you know what? For all you know, don't be surprised if maybe a year from now, he actually marries this girl. Because there's some guys that like these psycho case girls. Don't ask me why, but there are some people out there who like the psycho ones. And that one, this one over here, I'll tell you what, if I was him and he ends up with a chick, he better sleep with one eye open at night because that girl's got really serious problems. So I just thought to myself, wow, you go on one date with some guy and you destroy almost $1 million worth of his property. That is insane. And this happened in Dallas, guys, on Christmas Eve. This lawyer is going to remember this Christmas Eve. I don't know if he met her on Match.com or where he met her, but wherever he met this girl, He's never gonna try to meet anyone ever again from that whole thing. He's never gonna do it. He'd be like, I am not meeting anyone on whoever, or someone set him up with this girl. I don't think he'll ever talk to that person again. He'd be like, you set me up with a psycho. You set me up with Fatal Attraction, crazy bitch. I'm not even gonna go out with this person. And so I thought that was kind of funny to see that whole story playing out. But God, $1 million. You actually be a gentleman and you're calling the girl an Uber and she destroys $1 million. Worth of stuff in your house because she's mad at you. Oh my God. That is just too much on the psycho level. I can't even, you know, maybe cute, but you psycho girl, you need some help. Get some help for yourself. So I don't know. Have you guys seen the Netflix movie Bright? Has Will Smith in it? I haven't seen it yet. I think someone was watching a little bit of it and they kind of turned it off after they were watching it. I don't think it's gotten really great reviews. But if you don't know this about that movie Bright from Netflix, Netflix bought the ability to get that movie. I think they spent like $6 million in the script and they poured $90 million into this movie Bright. $90 million, guys, into a Netflix movie, a Netflix flick. Like $90 million. Hey, Pikachu, $90 million, guys, into a Netflix movie. So So I was kind of curious because the thing is, anytime Will Smith does a movie, you know, okay, so here's how the movie business works, guys. When you do a movie and you're hiring someone to be in the movie, especially if there's someone that's kind of like an established star, they come in with like a list of things that they want in the movie, like, oh, I want to be the executive producer, or I want warm Avion, or I want to have a trailer with this, it's, you know, a dozen roses every 2 hours rotated in. I mean, crazy crap they come up with that they want to have done. And the one thing I always notice with Will Smith, which I think is so funny about him, is that if you ever watch any movie that Will Smith does, within like 15 to 30 minutes of the movie, he has to be seen without his shirt on. Seriously, guys. Like, I actually know, like, that has to be a writer in his thing. Like, if I do a movie, you need to show me without my shirt on. Like, he does it. So I think I watched the first couple minutes of Bright on Netflix. And literally, I think within the first 5 minutes of it being on, Will Smith had his shirt off. I was like, there's the writer. There's the thing he had inside there. I was like, literally, every time he does it, it's like a requirement. It's like, I feel like, Will, when you're like 100 years old, are you going to be requiring that you have to have your shirt off in a movie? I just want to know that. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But Netflix put $90 million into Bright. $45 million of it went into the actual production of it, which I heard it has not gotten the best reviews. And then another $45 million was to spend on salaries and stuff. So I'm wondering how, and it's funny, because if you go onto Google and you check, nowhere on there does it tell you how much Will Smith actually got paid to do this. They said he got paid more than the other guy who was his co-star who had to wear the prosthetics on his face. But I'm saying to myself, if $45 million went into making a movie, I bet you Will probably got like a $10 or $15 million paycheck out of that. And I just don't know, is he really worth it? Especially when you have such bad reviews. Like $90 million, that's a lot of money to put into a Netflix flick. And the thing is, what I kind of feel bad, I loved how Stranger Things introduced a whole new group of people that became celebrities and like were shown for their talent. So it's kind of disappointing to me to see Netflix spend $90 million on a movie to bring Will Smith in there when I'm like, okay, but Will Smith is already established. He's been doing the business for 30 years. Like, he's already established. Why didn't you take that money and put in new talent? Like, it would have cost you less if you would have introduced us to new talent. And that's the thing. When I see something like that, and I'm like, you just threw $90 million into something that nobody really liked. Okay, you probably way overpaid Will Smith to be in it. Okay, it's not really his kind of a thing. He's more of like a big screen movie person. But, you know, Hollywood's not really doing so great with that because every time we turn around and making a remake of something we've already seen like 500,000 times. I just saw X-Files come back. I'm like, oh, my God, X-Files. Like, how many times can we talk about the aliens? Really? Okay. I love it. Yeah, X-Files is great, but I'm like, the thing is, with that kind of money those guys spent on that, with $90 million on something for Netflix, why not bring in new blood? Bring in new talent. Like, bring in new people that can, you know, into the business. I get it. It's great. But you need to start bringing in new blood. And that's why I think Stranger Things did so well. It wasn't even only that it was casted so well, but we had new people we hadn't seen before. It was, like, exciting to try to find out, like, oh, my gosh, who is this person that's playing the lead in Netflix? Where did she come from? You know, what's it about Millie? Like, what, you know, how'd she become an actress? Like, we love that. We love, let's face it, we love discovering new things, right? New things are just so much fun. We love it. We love to get a new gadget or new clothes or new anything. We love new stuff. So instead of pouring $90 million into something that actually didn't do really good and have us see the same people we've seen always again, they probably could have made that movie for half that. And they could have gotten some really new talented people that would have worked for so much less, for so much less. Like, if someone came to you in Hollywood and said, hey, I'm going to give you a great role in a movie that people are going to discover you, but I'm only going to pay you $5,000. You know what? You'd do it. You would do it. You would do it. I mean, you would absolutely do it. It's like if you watch Million Dollar Baby, The girl who played in Million Dollar Baby, working with Clint Eastwood, the lead role, she got the training, everything she had to do. She only got paid like $5,000 for that movie, but she knew it was going to make her famous. It was going to bring her into bigger and better things. So to me, with Netflix, I get the whole thing, but in reality, why give Will Smith all that money when you could have gotten someone new into that business, and you could have introduced a whole new group of people that we could have fallen in love with them. We would have, and actually, here's the thing with something like that. If you, even if the movie is not the, but there's a character or a person in there that you find really interesting, you're going to watch it just because that person or that character made you so fascinated, made you so interesting, right? It's like being on Live Me, right? If you go on to Live Me and you see a broadcaster and you're just like, oh my God, that person just seems so interesting and they're different and they're new, you're going to watch them. You're going to watch them. You're like, oh my God, I want to see you. I want to find out more about you. It's the same thing. So Netflix, I love Netflix that you're bringing out new and original programs, but you know what? Give the opportunity for new people to come in and be discovered. Just don't have the same old, same old. Like, we love established movie people. We do love that. But we also want to see new actors, new actresses. We want to see younger people, older people. We just want to see new people that we can find out and get excited about. Hey, Jeff Lee 84, what's up? It's like when you watch the Harry Potter. The whole fact, we were all fascinated not only by Harry Potter, we were fascinated by the cast of Harry Potter. We were fascinated by finding out more about the people who played the roles. That's what makes it really interesting. And if you see a movie with someone that you've already seen 5,000 times on the screen, it's like, yeah, I'll watch the movie and I'll watch the show, but it's like, I've already seen you. Like, I want someone new. I want someone I've never seen before to discover you. You know, it makes it just so much more interesting. So I hope maybe this will, I hate to say this, but, you know, we all have to kind of learn a lesson. So maybe this will let Netflix learn a lesson to get new blood in, to get new people in, to let us discover new actors and new actresses and make it fun for us. Like, we want to be entertained, but we also want to find the person that we're watching who's acting interesting. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for the likes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, we want that. So I hope that Netflix changes what they're doing and they bring us some new blood and some new people to discover and to have fun with. And honestly, like $90 million. Oh my God. Like, talk about throwing me down. Dude, if you ever, hey, Netflix, if you ever want to just throw away a bundle of that $96 million into another movie, let me know. I'll catch the money as it comes pouring out the window. I'll grab it, you know. But yeah, I just thought, no, that's just too much to have Will Smith make that kind of money. I mean, I said, you know, it's great that he's been around, but guys, we need new blood. Hey, Hamada, what's up? Hey, Mada. We need new blood. We want to discover new and fascinating people. We just don't want to have the same old people that we have to watch over and over again in a movie. I mean, there's so many new people that enter into Hollywood every day. There's really no excuse not to. And not even Hollywood, because like a lot of the actors and actresses that we have today, they're from all around the world. Like, they're not just even from Hollywood. They're from everywhere. And if you watch the cast of Game of Thrones, like, none of them are from America. They're from all, like, all these other different countries that are acting there. So, you know, just give us new people to watch. I think it's a great idea that you're giving these established actors a platform, but to spend $90 million on somebody, oh my God, $90 million in a movie and God knows ungodly amount. And then on top of that, so you made this thing and everybody thinks it sucks. Talk about burning $90 million. That makes it even worse. People don't even like what you even gave us for $90 million. Jesus, give me $90 million. I show you what I can do with $90 million. How about give me $9 million? I can make a great movie with $9 million. Forget about even 90. Wouldn't have to waste it all on salaries for people either. So yeah, I was just like, let's work on something a little bit better than that, Netflix. We could do that. So anyway, guys, there's some interesting stuff that's going on that just popped up. If you guys are, like I said, I'm from New York, and I just saw right now, guys, that there actually was a serious fire. If you're in New York City and you're near the Bronx Zoo, I hope